Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Leslie Gold. Kimberly Palmer has been a frequent guest on this show. She is the senior editor for Money and Personal Finance at U.S. News. But I also recently discovered that Kim wrote a book on starting a side business. And in fact, she has her own side business as well, Palmer's Planners, which are money planners that help you navigate your life events. And Kim not only chronicled her own journey about building a side business, but she spoke to and researched many other people that started side businesses. And she's got all the advice and tips and traps in her book, which is called The Economy of You, Discover Your Inner Entrepreneur and Recession-Proof Your Life. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Leslie.
So welcome back. And tell me, why did you write the book to begin with?
Well, I really felt like I had so little financial security. This was during the height of the recession that I really started feeling this, and I had just become a mom. So I was feeling a lot of financial pressure and stress, and I noticed a lot of other people were too. And so my solution for my own, to alleviate my own financial stress and worry about the economy was to launch a side business. So I knew I would have some income still coming in, even if, you know, God forbid I were to lose my full-time job. And so I built that side business. And as I did that, I interviewed and discovered so many other people who really felt similarly. They were launching their side businesses so they could earn more money, so they could have more financial security, sometimes just for creative reasons and wanting more fulfillment creatively and professionally. So I basically fell upon this whole world of people launching side businesses, and I joined them.
So I'm going to put yours aside for a moment. Tell me about some of the other people that you talked to, and what were the side businesses that you discovered that either impressed you either in a positive or a negative way? In other words, somebody really failed spectacularly, and you've got some, you know, some cautionary words for people.
Right. Well, what really impressed me the most were people who started using their expertise to coach other people. So usually this came up most often with a specific skill like social media or career coaching or life coaching, something where people or friends had been asking you for your advice about something for so long, and then you suddenly realize, hey, I could charge people for this. So one of these women, and she's in the book, Lexi Grant, who used to be a colleague of mine. She was a reporter, but then she realized she had this whole other skill of knowing how to use social media really well and build followers and fans. And so she started offering her services to small businesses, and she actually grew her business so much. It earns over $1 million a year now. She actually just sold the business, so she's very successful. She's no longer a reporter. So that's one that really stands out.
That's amazing, and I'm really surprised by that, because I think, you know, when I look out there in the world, I think, oh, everybody calls themselves a life coach, a coach, you know, a trainer today. And I wonder how they break through, right? How they find clients and make it a business, because it seems anybody, you know, anybody who's had a little bit of life experience now calls themselves a coach.
Yes, and that is exactly the problem. So the big challenge is to set yourself apart and show why you really do have something of value to offer. A lot of people, including Lexi, are able to do that because they get their first clients just by friends or word of mouth, and then those people essentially become their advocates. So they give them great testimonials to put on their website, or they tell their own friends and spread word that way. So you definitely have to have something of value and be actually helping people, or else you're right. I mean, there's so many other people out there, anyone can call themselves a coach. So you have to make sure you're really offering something valuable.
Okay, so now in your case, your main gig and your side gig are also complementary, right? They're synergistic. You're a money reporter, and you offer planning, money planning guides for people going through specific life events. And you also have a nice public platform, being a reporter for U.S. News. Is that complementary nature between your main gig and a side gig, is that almost a necessity or a huge help in getting your business off the ground? Or can you do it even if by day, I don't know, by day you're a legal secretary and at night you're selling knitted hats?
Yeah, exactly. So what's so interesting to me is that about half the people that I interviewed and featured were like me. Their day job was very much related to their side gig, and they could do them both without any conflict. And in fact, the two added to each other. But then, you know, half the people, it was the opposite. And this always was fascinating to me. So I found a lot of lawyers who moonlight as yoga teachers, for example. Huh. I interviewed one woman who works in a financial firm who also ran an art studio on the weekend. So sometimes completely different, completely unrelated. And in some ways, they liked that better because it gave them an outlet from their main jobs that were so different. They use a completely different side of their brains. And so, you know, there's pros and cons of each. I definitely can save a lot of time from the synergies of my own side gig plus my job. But other people found that outlet to be really rewarding.
So how do you get attention to your side gig, whether you use your gig as an example or some of the people you spoke to in your book, The Economy of You?
Well, it almost always started really small among people's personal networks and friends. And of course, you know, so many people have Facebook pages or Twitter pages or Instagram accounts. And so it often starts there, just by people you already know. There's a demand for whatever it is that you're offering. And so you just quietly at first let people know, maybe experiment with what you're offering, and then slowly you build to make it more public. So if you're selling something on Etsy, for example, say you're a crafter and you knit, you know, scarves and sell them on Etsy, you have to figure out how to tap into, you know, a much bigger platform. And the way to really do that is by writing guest posts on blogs or pitching your product on blogs that your potential customers are reading, or, you know, connecting using hashtags on Instagram and Twitter. So it starts often with friends and social media and then basically grows from there.
Okay. So when I hear you talk, I hear time, right? The amount of
yes.
time it takes. So in the beginning, and maybe even in the middle, you spend a lot of time developing your side business with little to no return. How do you know if it's a lost cause, that you spent enough time and enough effort, and you're spending far too much time for the return that you're getting?
This is a painful reality that you really have to consider. So this is why it's so important to not spend a lot of money on your startup costs. You want to make sure that you're testing the market before you pour savings into the cost that it takes to get your business going. So that's why using websites like Etsy or Fiverr or Elance, any of these platforms that make it so easy to open an account with minimal fees, you don't have to even pay for a professional website or anything like that, then you can test what you have to offer. So, you know, if you want to be a coach of some kind, you can start offering that online by just starting a blog or offering that on a website like Fiverr and see if you can build it. If you're not getting any traction and you're not making any sales, even after getting word out and being featured on a blog or two and sharing it with your friends on Facebook, then it might be time to step back and rethink your plan, see if you can tweak what you have to offer a little bit. I mean, the sweet spot is really finding the mix of what you have to offer, your skill set, with what the market demand is and what people really want help with. I think the best way to do that is to really consider what people ask you for help with for free. So like if you always have a friend asking for dating advice, maybe you should think about being a dating coach, or that way of thinking can help you find that market demand.
Okay. Now your business happens to be digital. Well, so is, in a way, so is your prime business. But if your business, your side business that you want to launch is hard goods, you know, homemade jewelry, knitted hats, dog jackets, whatever it might be, there's a back end to it. There's packing, there's shipping, there's even returns sometimes that take time.
Yeah.
You have any advice on how to handle that end without it consuming you?
Yes, and I actually started out selling spiral-bound hard copies of my planners, and I quickly realized, like you're saying, how complicated and difficult that is with the mailing and the packaging and even just storing your inventory. I mean, I had a closet full of this stuff, and it's hard to manage. It takes a lot of time and space and energy. So I think if that's the direction you're going, if you're actually selling products that are physical and you're going to be shipping them, you want to make sure that you are prepared to do that as efficiently as possible. I just recently interviewed a man who sells, basically he buys camera equipment online and then turns around and sells it. And his whole basement is dedicated to boxes for this and the packaging. He saves time by printing out mailing labels online so he doesn't actually have to go to the post office. Little things like that can save you time. I mean, you have to be prepared to dedicate dedicate some space and resources to your packaging and the logistics of that, because it gets complicated.
Yeah, it does. Now, your business is Financial Planners. I want to give it a plug, right? But Palmer's
Thank
Planners
you.
On Etsy. And did I read that you make as much as 10 grand a month on your side gig? Is that right?
A year.
$10,000 a year. Oh,
yes.
I was like, wow, she should quit her regular job.
I'm working toward that. Yeah, no, I'm not quite 10 grand a month, but 10 grand a year. So, you know, for me, it's all about starting small and building from there and seeing what other products I can launch in the future. And you know, my goal isn't to replace my day job. I love my day job. So I'd love to keep doing them both together.
Okay. So the book is The Economy of You, Discover Your Inner Entrepreneur and Recession-Proof Your Life. You can find it in the usual outlets. Kimberly Palmer has been our guest many times. She's the senior editor for Money and Personal Finance at U.S. News. Buy her book, The Economy of You. Kimberly, thank you so much.
Thank you, Leslie.
Okay, we'll be right back. I'm Leslie Gold. It's America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.